Good morning, everybody. You're welcome to the Daily Digest, the first of the week. First of the week. Okay, so we'll be talking to Captain Blade today. Tomorrow is Debumi. We will have Alero Eyeumi. She just came in. Jody just come from America, you know. So you go, yeah. There'll be a lot of fun and all kinds of things. Then on Thursday, we are going to have something split between... I lost a very, very close elderly friend, very Reverend Omololu, who will be buried on Thursday. So, first part of the program, I'll be paying a tribute to him. You know, he was a commodore in the Navy. Now, listen carefully. He was a medical doctor, a dentist, okay, medical doctor. He was a commodore in the Navy. And then at the later part of his life, he became the provost of the Christ Church Cathedral, Marina. I mean, it's very rare to have those three attributes, from being a medical doctor to a Navy commodore. And so it's a very big achievement. For those of us who are Lagos State indigenous proper, let me rub it in. one of the Omoluabis of Lagos that has passed away. May his soul rest in peace. He was a good follower of my program, right from my days in the other station. And guess what? He would give me a call minimum once in 2 weeks, and then occasionally correct me on a few things. But we'll do that on Thursday, and then we'll have an open mic. Okay? I'm struggling, doing everything possible to see if I can get you, Buddy George, on Saturday for the discourse, you know, and try to see if I can get him. We want to have his thoughts on what's going on within the party. Okay? So that's what we would have for the week. I don't know what we're going to have on Friday. Don't ask me. And thank you, Kelvin, who told me that. Uncle Jimmy, he sent me, you know, WhatsApp message that Uncle Jimmy, those who usually debate don't win. That's a tradition that we've had. Those who don't join in the debates, they don't necessarily win. But I think the times we're in are different. Do we have Captain Blade on the line? Yes, we do. Hello, Capi. Morning.
Good morning, sir.
Morning, Capi. How are you?
I'm good. And you?
Yeah, fine. Let me first of all give a rider to those who... I've had a few people who say, why do you keep calling? And I'm not sharing encomiums on you. I'm just in my typical whatever. Why do you always call this gentleman? I call him for professional reasons. It's like a database for me. Same thing I do with the lawyers that I always use. Libros, Candice Johnson. These are GT. I call them for professional reasons, so I have no apology for always referring to Blade. Once he went through the pass mark for me, that's good to go. So, Capi, how are you? Thank you for giving us your time.
You're welcome.
Which I know that in these current times is very valuable.
Really?
I know that this is your season.
Really, time is valuable to everyone indeed.
Yes, Capi, straight to business. These are dire times security-wise, and you know we've been having alerts. We have got alerts from the US, we've got alerts from the UK, which created a political opera somewhat in Abuja, you know, but we've not had a good example about how to deal with alerts when the US alerted the UK. There are citizens in the UK, but a possible alert and the UK, you know. Let's start with these alerts. Are they necessarily political? Why would America issue an alert to its citizens if it wasn't so? Why do you think? Are they political, these alerts?
Not necessarily. The alerts are actually what we decide to make of it. If you ask me, I'll tell you the Americans were not talking to Nigerians or Nigeria's government. They were talking to their citizens.
Yes.
If tomorrow I decided my son should not have anything to do with anything that comes from your compound, I don't think I was talking to you, I was talking to my son.
Yes.
But you know, when you have nothing doing, anything becomes worse. So for me, if I was Nigerian government, I would have simply, to borrow your term, use the popular refrain, which is ice on the ball.
Yes.
We had our plates full already. So whether they gave us an alert or not, it did not change anything. If they wanted all their citizens home for Christmas, well, fine. If they wanted all their citizens home for any reason, fine. And I'm sure somewhere back here, there will be American citizens who didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, yes.
So I don't know why someone decided to own an alert that was not he.
Yes. Okay. But from your assessment, because I know, like you say, you also keep an eye on the ball.
Indeed.
Was there any specific threats that could have brought about this alert?
Oh, there were. There were concerns. We may not want to call them threats, but there were concerns. And these concerns are rife with us. If you've been in this country since March, you know that we've been in and out of turbulence, security-wise. And the security or the insecurity of things Nigeria has a kind of spiral collateral effect on about anything Nigeria. Our sense of insecurity has affected food security. Our security concerns have affected economic security, road traffic, and journey management security. You mentioned it. So if at a point in time, the country decides, you know what, let's bring our people in, let's send them on alert, for whatsoever reasons they chose to do so, it doesn't really change the status quo ante right here on ground.
Okay, I was, you know, I'm not a man, what they would call an ogberi when it comes to security. I don't know Jack. Okay? But something occurred to me, and I'd like you to ask whether my worry was right or wrong. I had said here on radio last week, Thursday, when all these alert things, when I resumed work, really, that again, we need to keep an eye, as I'm keeping an eye on the ball, we need to keep an eye on the extra ball. What do I mean? You could jolly well have a sense that something is going to happen in Abuja, but it could be diversionary and Lagos could be the target. What I said was that as you have that concern in Abuja, because apparently there was some build-up of security, we need to keep an eye on Lagos and maybe Port Harcourt, these other places. And I, you know, called on the governor here and those in charge to please put up some extra security to make sure that we are not taken by surprise. What I said, do you think, in your view, in your own professional view, that it was right or wrong?
You are not far from it, Uncle Jimmy.
Yes.
Because for me, in practice, I always do one thing and it works for me.
Yes.
I always overestimate the virtue of my friends and underestimate the capabilities of my enemy. When you underestimate your enemies, they will never surprise you.
Yes.
And when you overestimate your friends, okay?
Yes.
Expect a lot from, sorry, when you overestimate your enemy, he will never surprise you. And when you underestimate the ability of your friends to be kind, you will also be comfortable. So if you were given the government of Lagos a heads up, you would have been doing what I would have done. In my part of the country, we have a small proverb, and it says, the man next to you, if he is you should catch fire. You should rub water on your own. Okay? So the Hausa man will tell you, if the man who is sitting next to you, if his beard should catch fire, then it's wise for you to rub water on your own so you don't go to sleep when your neighbor's house is on fire or when your neighbor has some behaviors that could bring about a fire incident, you start stocking up on fire safety equipment and what have you. So you were not far from it.
Okay, because I'd like to even know if definitely there was something I missed. Maybe that it never took place. You just never know. But it looked as if the nation's capital would probably be a target. Why is that? Do you think it would have been would it have been just to embarrass the government, or the most remote possibility of them wanting to take over central government? I mean, what did you think, you know, the nature of that particular threat was?
Naturally, if you look at the nuances of our enemies and our threat types, they would want to go for the biggest elephant in the room, even if it is by pretense. And when that elephant decides to be irritated by their nuances and their, I don't know what to call it now, they will still get the kind of vibes they intend to get. So there are times, you know, we say silence is golden. If you decide to start saying my head office was not safe, rather than make any statements that will give you joy, I'll actually greet you with silence. But I'll bend my head down and walk towards surprising you or giving you the shock of your life. As I said, it's better for our enemies to underestimate us and our friends to overestimate us. So most of the time when these jokers speak, from whatever perspective they speak, we shouldn't be quick to own businesses of theirs that are not ours. But then, we should go back home and put our heads down and keep our eye on the ball.
Recently, there seemed to be an increase in our own security. I mean, in terms of acquiring planes and Tucano jets and so on and so forth. Does that give us much more confidence that we are in completely safe hands?
The acquisition of these assets is just 1% of this confidence drive, if you ask me. The result of these assets is where the 99% of confidence is. Trust me, if we didn't have even a single plane and people were safe, confidence levels will be high. If we had nuclear warhead and people were not safe, confidence levels won't go anywhere. So acquiring national defense assets is important. But if you are talking about confidence, it's not the color or the kind or the types of aircrafts you buy that brings about confidence. It's about the results they achieve. And those results are measured by the common man in whether or whether or not he can sleep at home, go to his farm, and come back safely. That's the ground zero of confidence.
I'm also wanting to know how affected members of our armed forces are by the discussions that go on outside. When I say discussions, the revelations of stealing money and this and that, does it actually affect the morale of the gentlemen on ground? How do they feel?
Well, it's like saying, if you slice a soldier's hand, will he bleed? He will bleed now.
I thought the people don't get blood now.
Of course you agree. When you are actually putting your life on line, you are shedding tears, sweat, and blood. And then you hear one man who actually had so much money stashed away somewhere, rats were eating the money. In fact, there were they were, how do you call this, this thing we used to bind money. They were actually logos of expired banks.
Yes.
In the money together. And you are there waiting to chest bullet for these same people that are stealing. I mean, the soldiers were, I mean, they have mothers. They were not plucked off tree. So these are the things that you see happen that makes some soldiers' mind caught. When I say a soldier's mind caught, these are the things that happen that make some soldiers zero their mind. Then you now see a soldier wanting to sell bullets for cash, or you see these things happening. And once you see these things happening like this, you question, why would someone want to do this thing? That's because those he has vowed to put his life online for are not giving him the necessary encouragement to do so. And that is why I've always said our politicians must learn to stay out of the way when it comes to security.
Yes.
Security has no tribe, it has no language, it has no party. Without it, nothing else can sit.
Okay, so, okay, Kapi, we are going to have to take a break in another minute or so. So, but we cannot, and then when we come back, we'll be taking calls. So what we'll do is that when we come back, we'll do another 10, 15 minutes. Then you can sit back, put on your radio, and listen to the calls. I will take up the issues another time, because for as long as I'm talking to you on the phone, it will be difficult for people to get in. And
that's very true.
It's a pity that you are not here, but I know how big you are. So, gentlemen and ladies, or ladies and gentlemen, as I always say, we are going to take a short break anytime from now. When we come back, I'm going to ask Kapi a few more questions. Then we'll take your phone calls, 0700-993-993-993 and 0146571190. Like I said, I'm now active. I can have a device right in front of me. I can't read the Twitter, whatever, from where it is. My eye, they pain me. That's really, I'm short-sighted. So I have this device now. But then you have to add tag along at Jimmy Diso so I can read it directly from here, if you don't mind. Just put up the tag at Nigeria Info, but tag at Jimmy Diso so that I can read it out. Somebody here has sent a tweet, and he says that if a man doesn't have time to talk to you, then you shouldn't have time to vote for him. And he credits me with that statement, and he's asking people to vote yes or no. I've taken the first vote of yes, since I'm the one who said it. Okay. So, Kapi, hold on. We'll take a short break. We need to run some commercials. Do that with the oil that keeps the machine going. And then when we come back, we'll continue with our story, okay? So, stand by, everybody. We'll be back soon.
Don't touch that dial. Daily Digest returns in a moment.
We keep you informed all day long with the best radio programming. From the morning crossfire with Sheriff to What's Up Lagos. And at noon, it's the Sunny Side with Joyce. Let's talk hard facts with Sandra Ezekwesili.
I will present a story the way that it was presented.
Femi and the gang bring the game on with day-by-day accounts of magnificent moments in the world of football. And finally, the chat station. All for your listening pleasure. Your number one station for talk. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Don't forget to listen to your number one station for talk anytime and anywhere. Anywhere. Just search Nigeria Info FM on the Apple App Store and on Google Play Store. And never leave home without us again. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Welcome back.
This is
Daily Digest with Jimmy Diso.
Welcome
Yes, welcome back to the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu. And I still have the famous Captain Blade online. Well, Capi, you did it.
Thank you.
Hello, Capi.
Yes, sir.
Ah, very good, very good, very good. Now, with the elections that we have just around the corner and the campaign heat, is there anything that the parties need to be aware of security-wise? Because the issue came, was it last week, when there was some advisory for them to stop campaigns and rallies with crowds and so on and so forth. How do we go through that kind of maze?
What is happening presently is such that we must encourage our politicians to give security a chance.
Yes.
To cooperate with our security agencies so that those who don't want to see this country morph into something better don't enter us under the guise of political violence. If you go out there antagonizing each other as political parties and not tolerating each other,
yes,
that bad guy will anchor his evil deeds on that guys. Okay? They will do their worst and allow the parties to blame each other, since they never were friends anyway. So we don't allow those people to jump on the bus to where they are going and jump off and leave the parties to their normal refrain of antagonism all the way. The parties must be encouraged to understand that there should be tolerance in inter-party activity.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I don't know how to word this, but I got to be careful, but I have to ask that question anyway. And that is the fact that in Africa recently, we've had 2-3, I think so far, military interventions. Now, for those of us who are old enough in the 60s, that sign is worrying. This is how it started from, I don't know which came first, either Nigeria or Ghana, or Ghana or Nigeria. It spread to Benin Republic, to Togo, to Burkina Faso, to almost, and that trend has kind of started, even though utterly discouraged. Does it give us any sense of worry in Nigeria here?
Yes, in all honesty, we should be concerned. The reason why I say we should be concerned is, previously I gave you an example of that soldier who is so sworn to oath and loyal that he stands and takes the bullets with his full chest, only to hear that those the Constitution swore him to be loyal to are doing some mind-boggling thing. We are all human. As I told you, if you slice a soldier's hand, he will bleed. Let not provoke the unexpected in our armed forces. I'm talking to politicians again. Let us not provoke all this talk that America doesn't like military rule. You saw them at the slightest inkling, they spoke to their citizens and went home. Don't provoke the unexpected in those who are meant to die defending you. It's not granted. They are not robots. They are humans, they have wives, they have children. They want to train their children. Every soldier wants to attend his daughter's wedding someday, and vice versa. So we must come down, as in eyes on the ball. Let's be serious about being serious. Soldiers, politicians, the governed and the governors. That's my own position there, my humble position there.
Yes, and then my humble addition also would be, we've seen cases now where in some parts of the country, politicians also make use of soldiers for security and so on and so forth. Doesn't that portend some kind of danger? having the soldiers out of the barracks, getting involved in political activities.
Yes, sometimes when you see soldiers being deployed to handle certain situations, it could be that the other security agencies may not draw the required cooperation or have lost the reckoning of the threat at hand. That too has its downside. The downsides being, if we keep deploying soldiers to handle some of these internal security tasks, then those who allow them to be deployed must also be above board in character and what? Act. Or else, one day, you will provoke the unexpected in that soldier. As I have said earlier, in today's Nigeria, anything you see the average civilian suffering, the soldiers still suffer it. Their wives go to the same market. The soldier is paid in the same naira, and so on and so forth. So if you decide to start picking them, only to start using them to do things that actually rubbish the magnanimity of your position as a leader, and one day you will give that soldier order and he will look you in the face and say, get back into your room and stay there. That's what we call a coup.
Yeah, a bit of that happened in 66 when a brigadier, I think it was at Bonny Camp, gave an order, and the soldiers said, I mean, we do have memories of these things, which we hope won't happen again. I'm going to ask your indulgence to be invited one more time to discuss, because we can't do that today, to discuss the implication of security, the issue of security in 2023, meaning for you to explain to Nigerians what are the issues, not today, another day very soon, what are the issues that Nigerians need to tackle their presidential candidates on in specific terms?
Security-wise.
I want you to start putting your mind to it, that what are the pertinent questions, because Kapi, like I said at 7:30 this morning, I'm not a manifesto person. I don't believe.
I listen to you.
Yes, I don't believe that. I've been involved. I've been hired to write manifestos before. But how many of us were hired then? About 10 of us were hired. They praised us a pricey sum. We put heads together and prepared the document for a politician, which he himself did not even read itself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so we want the favor you are going to have to do Nigerians is to give us the specifics that we should be asking these people at state level, because security is number one before any other issue, as far as I'm concerned. If you are going to revive your economy, if you are going to improve the well-being of Nigerians, the first place to start, whether there is NEPA or not, in fact, whether there is food or not,
it's security. Interestingly, I crafted a national security ticket.
Yes.
For one of those contenders.
Yes.
And he never took it seriously. Now it's actually other than a party ticket. There is a national security ticket document.
It's important.
Which I crafted for one of these contenders.
Because he just
threw it out of the window.
Because it's important that we do this, because it's not enough for you to, as part of your campaign, you have a retired major general who come and start gassing. We want to know the thoughts of the candidate itself. Can we do this on Saturday, Kapi?
Sure.
9 o'clock.
Okay, that means you are waking me up early.
Yes, I wake up early. Don't worry, I'll teach you to break. So we will do this on 9 o'clock, and the issues would be about security as an issue in the campaign.
Indeed, it is.
Yes,
it
is. Thank you very much, Kapi. Let me let you go.
And I'll see you on Saturday.
God bless you all the time. Okay, so we've been speaking to Captain Blade, and we've been able to arrange something for Saturday. On Saturday, we'll be looking at the issues we'll take up, and I hope our colleagues who might be in a position to interview them will listen in. I'll make sure that it's on all channels, YouTube and whatever, will listen in and take up the specific questions we need to be asking the candidates. Not their associates, not their minions, not their advisors, to ask the candidate himself the various questions that we will need. So we will do that on Saturday on the Discourse, which of course is brought to you, as you know, by MTN. So we'll do that. Now we'll take a few questions and reactions. Remember, Captain Blade is not in a position now to react, you know, he's not in the studio, but at least he's listening, and who knows, maybe the first 10 minutes on Saturday we'll be able to take his reactions to some of the things that you're saying. Let's take the first caller here. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Uncle Jimmy.
Morning.
This is Pastor Ladiko.
Yes.
Uncle Jimmy, I don't know when we got to this stage where we started politicizing security.
Mm.
Security is beyond politics because it affects the human.
Yes.
So for me, every presidential candidate that is coming must come and tell us directly by themselves their take on the issue of security. Is very important. Even Lagos State, as you are talking now, many places are not safe.
Yes.
Thank you, and God bless Nigeria.
Thank you. You're actually right. I'm going to say again for the umpteenth time, I'll never tire of saying it, keep the underbridges clear. And clear the little pockets of areas that are springing up. Again, I repeat Ijora by Ijora Nepa. There's a whole village springing up there. Going further down from the connect from Ijora to the National Theatre on your left, there is a whole town springing up of people I'm sure we can't even identify. Okay? And these little areas should be security concerns to the state. We will never tire. If anything goes wrong in this regard, we will know on our part that we've given enough warning and advice on this. Very, very important. Keep your underbridges safe. Keep the state well lit. Thankfully, there's a bit of that. And try as much as possible to stop encouraging people to gather together in places that are in the first instance illegal and where you have absolutely no control of knowing them. What I am saying, I cannot say in full terms, but anybody will discern about what I'm talking about, you know, if you look at the settlements. Because, okay, so where are all the Okada riders? Did they go back to where they came from? Where are they settled? These issues are very, very important, and we'll look at them on Saturday when Captain Blade comes. Okay, so I'll take another caller. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Uncle Jimmy.
Morning, Chris. How are you?
Thank you very much. For me, I'm not tired of hearing from Captain Blade.
Yes.
Those people, I hope they are listening. And let them take to his hand. Uncle Jimmy, my friend now, what are you bringing in? Wadoki.
Who is that?
Wadoki.
I leave that one. He's busy running around in politics. Let him rest.
Okay, now. Thank you, sir.
His time is not now. Hello. Hello.
Hello, sir. Good morning, sir.
Morning.
Yes, sir. My name is Moses. I'm calling from Melba.
Morning, Moses.
Sir, the issue of security in this country is really alarming.
The what?
The issue of security in the country.
Yes.
It's really alarming.
Hmm.
Sir, come to Ajah, even in the daytime, you are afraid to move in the daytime. Like the area I'm seeing in Ajah, you see 5, 6, 7 boys holding ego, holding this, holding alcohol. Drinking, you cannot move freely. This present government, I don't know what they are up to. I just pray that 2023 they should just allow us to do.
Okay.
We are tired of this government. Thank you, sir.
Okay, we are talking security, not if you're tired of the government. If you're tired of the government, you show that on the 23rd, in February 2023, and then you can do what you consider the rightful thing to do. And then the security you're talking about is related to crime. I'm looking at a larger issue. Okay, we are not paying attention to crime. Fine. I mean, when I say crime, robbing people and so on and so forth, but I'm also looking at a larger issue that I hope we don't have any standard army in the waiting. And it is in the same light that I look at the issue of the Agberos. It is in that very same light where you have a mass of people, you know, who could hold the state to ransom. But we'll discuss that on Saturday. I hope myself and Captain Blade will be able to go through all that. Like I said, you can also tweet. Donyi Kasumu, FCA, says that, in essence, your advocacy should be for manifestos to contain action plans and strategies. Exactly. In fact, throw away the manifesto. Let's just have the action plan. You know, because we're in a very... You can't. What Nigeria needs now is to first of all, at least settle down for about 2 years and clear the mess and the rot before you can start thinking of moving forward. So, as far as manifestos go, don't be taken in by all these big rhetorics. We have this agenda, this plan. Nigeria is in a state of terminal cancer. So you want chemo to revive the person before you can start thinking of preventing the person from having malaria and all of that things, and you know. So the very important one is, hey, Oga, this current crisis we are in the following areas, what exactly are you going to do? That's what I meant. You can have a manifesto somewhere. Your party members will be interested in reading all that at campaign grounds. But we want personal questions. This is not a time to even think restructuring and all these things that some people are bringing up. When we settle down, we will solve the... If we can't eat, restructuring now is not what is affecting the fact that you can't buy a bag of rice or you can't do whatever. Those are political arrangements. Because whether you restructure or you know restructure at all levels, chopping they go. At all levels, chopping they go. In fact, restructuring might even affect some other people badly, some other states badly. With the level of consumption. Say, you see now, somebody's 40 houses have been seized. 40! 9 in Dubai, I think 5 in England, an apartment in New York, about 10 in Abuja. One person. One person, no? 40 houses. That's an indication. If you want to pretend that you don't know what's going on, it's up to you. Like Kanayo said in his video, thank you very much, my friend. If I need to invite him down here, Kanayo, he made a video that if you'd like, continue to be stupid. Be talking of my countryman, he's a knight in my church, he's a Baba Ajo of my whatever. 40 houses, one man. I got to go, it's 9:52, I still have about 3 more minutes. Maybe I should take one more call, just one more, very quickly. Hello, good morning.
Uncle Jimmy, good morning.
Morning.
We have Ambassador Mizia here, Uncle Jimmy.
Hey, Ambassador, quick.
I want to join in this campaign that people will just let the president alone for now. Let's focus on the senators. The senators of rest. Because if the senators and the House of Reps were on top of their duty, they would be better in this country.
Mm.
The senators out of rest. If you focus on them,
okay.
Keep focus on the executive. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I don't agree, but that's a story for another day. I agree partially, but now we need some executive action. Okay, Nigeria, we are in a very dire situation. The political arrangement is not the issue, as far as I'm concerned. Don't let them kid you. We need action. We need somebody, a hands-on leader, to take us out of this mess. I got to go. I'll be back here tomorrow. Tomorrow is Diabomi. I wanted to bring in Blackie, but she'll be coming next week, okay? So Alero Yeomi will be here tomorrow. He just come from America, so he goes sweet gone. I'll see you all tomorrow at 9. Bye.
informed all day long.